This is the Power Aesthetic Podcast. In this one, we're going to be talking about some topics that I had listener requests for. This one is going to be about depression, anger, self-sabotage, addiction, so on and so forth, because all of those things, in my experience of them, have sort of tied together and sort of been one big interwoven issue. A little history, I guess, I'll start with. Some of this stuff I've talked about before, and some of it is a little more personal stuff that I've never really talked about before. I had my depression set in pretty intensely during, I guess, around adolescence, probably around 12 or 13, maybe a little bit before then, and sort of manifested itself as extreme bouts of bleakness and despair, even at that young age, as well as really intense anger, self-loathing, self-criticism, insecurity, so on. Oftentimes, you know, these internal voices of self-criticism and self-loathing and all that started to then manifest in, I guess, externalizing them. So, you know, they sort of took on the personification, I guess, of cynicism, of strongly misanthropic impulses, and extremely a developing cruel and just critical nature toward everything around me. It got worse and worse as my teen years went on, to the point where by about 15, I was coping the best that I could by, you know, reading books that helped me at the time. I read a lot of Henry Rollins at the time, although I don't recommend his stuff now. Some of his books when I was at that age were helpful, just knowing that somebody else was dealing with similar stuff as far as just the depression and anger and all that sort of stuff went. I wrote a lot, sort of very typically, you know, a teenager drinking coffee and banging away at an old manual typewriter in my room, writing stuff that I thought was, you know, absolutely brilliant, that I'm sure if I looked back, I'd cringe or be embarrassed of. But at the time, I thought I was, you know, tapped into the vein of God and channeling the best shit that was ever written. And, you know, when I was at least sort of manically creative, the rest of the time I felt like it was dog shit. And I lifted weights. That was when I first got into sort of physical training on an intense level. You know, I had a gym in the garage, and if I wasn't there, I was pretty much in my room. Couldn't be around my folks, couldn't be around most other people. My parents and I at the time had a terrible relationship, which I take all the blame for. I couldn't be in the same room with them without, you know, anger outbursts and just total fucking hatred, really, was how I felt at the time. And as I got a little bit older, my coping mechanisms for this pretty much morphed into drugs, alcohol, sex, and violence, which at the time were all pretty much the same thing, because I was trying to distract myself from the inner voices and the ways that I felt, the frustration, the anger, the exhaustion, the despair, and, you know, the feelings of at that point, I think, self-destruction that I had, that were manifesting themselves in sort of a very extreme lifestyle and lifestyles that lent themselves to addiction, excess, violence directed both toward myself and toward everyone and everything around me. You know, I think that the idea of needing stimulation all the time in order to just distract myself from what was going on inside my own mind was something and is something that stuck with me for a really long time and throughout my whole life. You know, I was either stimulated by, you know, what I just mentioned, you know, all these intense and extreme impulses, or these manic periods of crazy creativity that oftentimes, you know, would bleed out before completion and leave me feeling totally enervated, totally empty, completely depressed and totally bleak again, and just living on these cycles of just phenomenally ecstatic highs and soul-crushing lows. And my family was not much for treatment or therapy or anything like that, and so I kind of just struggled on with it pretty much by myself. You know, my brother helped me out and stuff like that where he could, but there's not a lot of advice, I think, sometimes that comes from people who are really close to you that is always helpful, because oftentimes you'll reject that kind of advice because you feel like it's coming from people who have to say it rather than people who might know what they're talking about. And you can get very trapped in this feeling of isolation and of frustration and sort of disconnection from the people around you. And oftentimes you feel like you're unique in your experiences and that you're the only one feeling this way or who's ever felt that way. And it can keep you very, very locked up internally. I kind of went all the way with that stuff. I was suicidal for a lot of different parts of my life. And went as far as all the way up to the brink, to the point of pulling the trigger one time, where a rim fire kept that situation from going all the way. I still have trouble believing it myself, and when I remember it, I remember it, and I can feel sort of a flush come over me and goosebumps, because I was very close to not being here anymore. And that was a moment that I look at as a moment of just extreme, weakness and exhaustion. And I think things had gotten to a point where it wasn't even anything outside of myself that was driving me toward that. It was an actual exhaustion with feeling depressed and angry itself. I had just been in that for so long and had been dealing with it for so long that I just got overwhelmed. I got too tired and I set the weight down, or I wanted to set the weight down. And that's the great enemy. That's the true enemy that has to be resisted, is the feeling not of anger necessarily, but what ultimately comes in its place, which is a feeling of being completely burnt out, completely exhausted, and willing to give up and to surrender. I look back at that time period, that situation, and I'm ashamed of myself on the one hand. On the other hand, I am compassionate to the feelings that I was experiencing at the time. I was at a really, really low point in my life, and I'd just gotten out of the hospital from having a heart attack from substance abuse, a pretty intense period, about a year of really, really extreme substance abuse, drinking, drugs, the whole nine yards, and was just over it. I was just done. And to get past that period of time, I had to use a lot of different things and realize that I had to change my life. I had to change my relationship with addiction, my relationship with compulsive behavior, my relationship with anger, my relationship with self-criticism, self-loathing, self-destruction, all this stuff. And for me, all of those things, like I said at the outset, they were all the same. My anger was the same as my depression, was the same as my frustration, as my exhaustion, and as my compulsive behavior toward the things that I was addicted to, whether that was drugs or drinking or sex or violence, just anything that was stimulating to me and kept me outside of having to deal with my problems. And even still, I have to live a pretty rigorously ordered life, because when my order and my self-control or my self-organization begins to slip, I am very aware of the fact that I could go back to living that lifestyle anytime. You know, there's a certain self-knowledge that has to come from this stuff where you understand that a lot of this stuff is ingrained in your personality, and there are elements of it that you can change, but that doesn't mean that you ever let your guard down, because self-sabotage is very real. Going through difficult periods of time can be dangerous to people who are or have been in the past, you know, strongly addicted or very, very compulsive or deal with extreme depression or anything like this, because you will give yourself permission to sabotage yourself and to dive back into that lifestyle. You always know that it's wrong, but it doesn't stop this little voice from justifying and saying, you know what, fuck it, just do whatever you want to do. This shit's not working anyway. And all these little voices that will drive you straight back into the intoxicating arms of compulsive behavior, of drugs, of drinking, of sex, of you know, violence, outbursts at yourself, at people around you, whatever. And I have to stay highly motivated and highly disciplined. And sometimes this can be very, very difficult. But we have to remember that, you know, self-sabotage is an act of surrender. It's throwing the wrench in your own gears and giving up. Sometimes that sounds very attractive, but letting that weight crush you down, as I said, is the ultimate enemy. It's the great enemy. And I think that for my progress through this stuff, and maybe this will help you, I am not a doctor. I have to say that. I think legally, I'm not licensed to give medical advice. So take this or leave it. One of the things that I studied and started to, it helped me get a grasp on things, is the idea of what psychologists and big brain people call adaptive anger versus maladaptive anger. And what that really means is positive anger versus negative anger. There is a type of positive anger that can be brought to bear to help you with stuff like addiction and depression, which is instead of just viciously attacking yourself, you can begin to turn your anger where it belongs, which is on these sort of inner voices of self-critique and self-loathing and self-destruction. And one of the ways that I started trying to do this, which those are maladaptive angers, those are, you know, anger that you direct internally and then that blows up at the people around you, and that makes you be I don't want to say this because I don't want to sound cruel, but it's the kind of anger that makes you a bitch. It's the kind of anger that makes you passive aggressive, that makes you victimized or makes you sulking or whatever, versus the kind of anger that's more of a righteous wrath. One thing that can be helpful simply because of the way that we are as human beings is you can start to view that internal voice of criticism or that internal voice of compulsion or self-sabotage or addiction. You can view it as something or someone outside of you, someone talking you down or criticizing you or telling you to do things that you know is destructive toward yourself, instead of viewing it as yourself talking, which is very easy if you're a very self-critical type of person. And imagine that it was someone else that was saying those things or trying to give you that advice or try to run you down. Because that can allow your anger to become positive, because you can begin to become angry at those voices as though it was someone else saying you're a piece of shit, or you know, you should just go ahead and do this because nothing matters anyway or whatever. And to try to turn that anger into a positive anger that actually is you being on your own team, acting as a friend to yourself, which can be very difficult sometimes, but that being on your own team is critical when it comes to this kind of stuff, because most oftentimes depression creates these voices inside us that are very much not on our own team. They run down our best interests and they are set to destroy us. I don't pretend to understand why or where these impulses come from, whether they're just chemical imbalances or whether they're trauma or whether they're just ingrained into who we are, how we are, but they are not our friend. They do not have our best interests in mind, and we have to combat them. And sometimes this adaptive anger can be a good way to do this. It's also important with that sort of stuff to understand the difference between self-compassion, that is having a sort of understanding and tough love and yeah, just compassion for ourselves, you know, saying, hey, look, this is a tough thing. This is hard to work through, but we're going to work through it. Or feeling sorry for ourselves. Feeling sorry for ourselves is destructive as well, because it just leads us to these sort of maudlin, you know, weepy episodes maybe of just everyone's against me or whatever, which is just not the case. You have to start to, and this is a very dangerous and maybe a foolhardy way to say this stuff, but with these self-destructive behaviors, there is a positive way to kill ourselves and a negative way to kill ourselves. The positive way to kill ourselves is killing the small s, these small and shitty parts of ourselves that can be killed through acts of compassion and through acts of self-understanding and through acts of self-transformation. We want to destroy ourselves because often we're self-critical and we're self-loathing. There's these parts of ourselves that we hate, but we have to remember that we kill those parts of ourselves by changing them, by transforming them, not by acts of literal self-destruction. Thanks to Alexi for reminding me of this quote, but you know, Nietzsche said the snake that cannot shed its skin must perish. We have to begin shedding these parts of ourselves, and we do this through positive transformation, not through self-immolation. So one of the other things that helps me a lot is a couple of little mantras that I say to myself, which is the first one of which is, now ain't forever. You have to remind yourself that when you are at your most crushed places, when you're at your most depressed or your most weak or your most willing to succumb to addiction, self-sabotage, compulsion, whatever, you are not going to feel that way every minute of every day. That feeling is transitory, and you have to remind yourself that how you feel right now, how intensely you feel, is a moment in time. It will absolutely pass, and it will be replaced by a different feeling, and you can utilize these positive methods of thinking to move yourself through that space quicker or more smoothly. You know, and another mantra is, today ain't tomorrow. You know, your ability to understand and to be compassionate toward your own foolishness. And by that I mean, you know, you've been here before. You know that these are cycles. You know that succumbing to them is foolish. You know that succumbing to them is not where you ultimately want to be. You don't ultimately want to be destroying yourself, destroying the progress that you've made by submitting to self-destruction. That those are foolish behaviors, but that you can be compassionate toward that foolishness. And by also reminding yourself that fucking up ain't being stuck. A mistake with addiction, you know, backsliding, relapse, whatever, with compulsive behavior, with falling back into depression or anger or lashing out at the people around you or at yourself. It's just that. It's a mistake. Mistakes exist to be corrected, to be learned from, and to be moved on from. When you're under that weight, it can be really helpful to give yourself that kind of compassion, but also to give yourself a little bit of space, you know, to break things down into manageable portions, whether that's your day-to-day, the things that you have to get done. These things can seem very overwhelming when you're under that weight or when you're feeling torn back toward negative behaviors. Learn to say no to some shit and rest a little bit when you need to bolster that inner power. For me, there is also a duality that is helpful. That duality is using a routine or smashing a routine. Having a routine to bookend my day, it does not have to be crazy or brutal, but having a routine that I adhere to pretty much no matter how I feel is pretty critical for me. You know, to wake up in the morning and to go do some kind of cardio, you know, to drink, make sure I'm drinking water. Sometimes just that rigorous exercise can shake me out of feeling that slowness or that malaise or that brain fog, you know, or just the some fucking days it can be tough to get, you know, to want to get out of bed and to say no. When my alarm goes off, I get up, I get out of bed. I don't waste time feeling sorry for myself, and I go do something hard. I go do some rigorous physical exercise, you know, and I train jiu-jitsu in the evenings, or I weight train or whatever if that's not possible. But I bookend my day with things that I have to discharge. I have a to-do list, and what's on that to-do list is going to get done. Alternately, sometimes it can help to smash my routine. If I'm feeling a bit bleak, or I'm feeling a bit too trapped in the ordinary or the banal, I will try to break that up by doing something different. I can jump on a motorcycle at any time. I can go on a camping trip. I can just go outside for, you know, half an hour, you know, and take my lunch break or whatever to go do what I want to do, whatever that might be, to go take a drive or whatever. Breaking up your routine can sometimes be really helpful in just breaking up that mental sameness where we get stuck in that loop. But, you know, another one is go outside for fuck's sake. Sometimes you think you're having a bad day when you're just having a bad moment. And going on a 10 or 15 minute walk can really give you a lot of perspective. I know it sounds trite. I know it sounds a bit absurd, but man, sometimes just going outside and getting some sun, or if it's not sunny outside, just going for a walk can help me get perspective and remind me that I did not have a bad day. I am not depressed right now. I just had a moment or a brief spell of depression or whatever, and I walked it out. I got through it. You know, don't isolate yourself too much for too long, but a little can be okay. If you're feeling run down by the people around you sometimes, it can be okay to isolate, especially from certain people. You know, but don't isolate too much. Remember that your friends probably miss you, and you can't just go into full hermit mode when you're feeling like shit. Add those things into your routine. Make sure you're reaching out or giving people a holler. And that brings me to one that helps me maybe the most, which is help somebody else. Oftentimes I have found in my life that when I'm at my absolute lowest, if I can just fight it long enough to decide that I'm going to go help somebody else with a problem that they're having, to reach out to somebody, this can be volunteering. There's soup kitchens in your area. You can go feed poor people. You can go volunteer at an animal shelter. You can do any kind of volunteer work that is something that you believe in, that puts you in a situation where you have to put your own little problems or big problems on the back burner to go help somebody else. You know, social media can be amazing for this. You can reach out to somebody and have a pen pal or whatever who might be having a problem, and you can reach out to them and you can give them strength. And you can, instead of dragging each other down, you can pull each other up. You can find one of your friends who might need you, who might need help somewhere, and go help them. Even if it's with just a project or something, offer help. This can really have a major way of pulling you out of stuff, because you feel useful. You feel good because you helped somebody else out. You did something that was in line with your ideals or your beliefs, and you just, you know, you stopped being completely self-centered for a minute and you went and did something for someone else. My main mantra, you guys have heard me say this a million times, but it's from a Patti Smith song. And there's a line in that that says, "Those who have suffered understand suffering and thereby extend their hand." I think this is one of the most beautiful pieces of poetry, and one I try to remember all the time when I'm at my lowest, is just extend your hand, go help somebody else. There are some other basics that I think are positive to remember. One is, what are you feeding your mind? Is what you're feeding yourself contributing to bringing you down or sabotaging or making you fall back into addictive places? I am a big proponent of cold turkey quitting. After having a heart attack from withdrawals, I am not as big of a fan of cold turkey quitting certain substances. But with a lot of stuff, you have to just create a total cessation of that kind of behavior and cut it out at the root. I think great ways to do this is to make sure that you are literally feeding yourself good things. Don't eat junk. Don't eat garbage. It's going to make you feel like shit, and it's going to make you feel like a piece of shit. So eat well. Feed your body with good things. Your mind and your body are not disconnected. They are the same. So feed them with good things and exercise. Put exercise into your routine, whether that's a walk or a run or a kettlebell workout or a basic weightlifting routine or a martial art, which also has the added benefit of making you social. You know, go run with somebody, go train with somebody, you know, get a gym partner and then adhere to that. It's going to help keep you honest. It's going to help you keep you on that routine. Two other things that are really helpful to do is to meditate. You can watch your own patterns of behavior, but you can meditate and take that space from that day to day and just breathe. And I think one of the most useful things to meditate on, another one that sounds very trite and very cliche, but that's because it works, is meditating on gratitude. Your life is not as bad as you think it is in your lowest moments, I promise you. Finding things to be grateful for and meditating on those things, even if it's just one thing. It can be how much your fucking dog loves you, how much you love your dog. It can be finding pleasure in the simple things. You can meditate on the friendships that you have, or you can meditate on the things about yourself that you like. But being grateful, my brother Finnelfer says that the first prayer of the day should always be one of thankfulness. It should always be one of gratitude. You know, as soon as you get up, when you're putting your shoes on to go do that exercise, just meditate for a few minutes. It can be an active meditation even while you're doing the exercise on what you're grateful for. So, you know, just try to keep some of these strategies in mind. If you're going through a really bad period, feel free to reach out. I do my best to read every email that gets sent to me, and I do my best to respond to them. But just remember, you know, now ain't forever, today ain't tomorrow, and fucking up ain't being stuck. I hope some of this helped you, and I hope you remember to feel a little bit of compassion for yourself today and for those around you. You know, everybody's a tough guy. Everybody wants to be a tough guy, but there's nothing that's not tough about being able to be compassionate and work through some of these things. And remember, if you've experienced suffering, that gives you a duty to see other people who are suffering and extend your hand. Have a good day, guys.